Evan Help Us, written by Reese Bowen and read by Roger Clark.
The Legend of Bedgellert. Prince Llewellyn had a faithful dog called Gellert. One day, he went out hunting, leaving his dog to guard his young son. On his return, he found the baby's cradle empty and the dog covered in blood. In rage and despair, he took out his sword and struck down Gellert. It was only as the dog lay dying that Llewellyn noticed the carcass of a huge wolf lying on the floor and the little prince safely asleep in the corner. He ran to Gellert, but it was too late. The dog died in his arms. In the dog's honor, he erected an impressive tomb, which can be seen today in the village that bears the name of Bedgellert, Gellert's grave. This dramatic legend is now thought to have been created by an enterprising 19th century innkeeper. Scholars now think that the name referred to an early saint, not Llewellyn's dog. Chapter 1. Colonel Arbuthnot strode out over the springy turf, his cheeks puffed out as trombone-like sounds popped from his pursed lips. The music was just recognizable as Men of Harlech. Sheep glanced up from their grazing and scattered, alarmed at the strange sounds coming from the colonel's lips, and at the rhythmic thwacking of his silver-tipped cane against clumps of gorse and bracken. Although he was approaching 80, the colonel was an imposing figure, with an upright bearing and a purposeful stride. He had been a handsome man in his day, and still liked to think that the ladies found him attractive. He sported a neat little moustache, but heavy jowls now sagged on either side of it, and his once fearsome eyebrows stuck out like prawns over faded, watery eyes. Even though it was midsummer, the colonel wore his habitual tweed jacket, with a canary-yellow waistcoat beneath it, a checked shirt, and a silk paisley cravat around his neck. His only concession to the season was a faded Panama straw hat, which he wore whenever possible to keep the sun off his bald spot. The village children of Clanfire imitated the colonel's distinctive gait, but never to his face. A stiff mountain breeze blew in Colonel Arbuthnot's face. He paused and breathed deeply. "Ah," he said, thumping his chest, "that's more like it." He felt alive for the first time in months. God, it was good to get away from that dreary London flat. All those interminable days of silence, broken only by brisk walks to the library to read newspapers he could no longer afford to buy, or, on fine days, a constitutional twice around the pond in the park. Fortunately, he had bought a life membership to his club in his more affluent days, but he hardly ever went there anymore. There seemed little point in it, since old Chatham had died last year. He was now the only one of his generation left, and the young fellows weren't interested in what he had to say. They thought he was an old codger, and made excuses to hurry off somewhere. Always in a hurry, the younger generation seemed to be. Constantly at the mercy of those damned portable phones. No time to enjoy life. Colonel Arbuthnot pitied them. At least he'd known the good life once. He'd been on tiger shoots and dined with maharajas and made love to pretty women in marble palaces. The young knew nothing about sport or conversation or romance. No manners and no time, the colonel decided, savagely decapitating a large thistle. Clouds raced overhead, opening up brief, tantalizing vistas of mountains, lakes, and steep meadows dotted with sheep. He hadn't realized how high he had climbed. Not bad for a senior citizen, he told himself. He'd wager those young weaklings at the club couldn't keep up with him, for all the time they claimed to spend keeping fit at their health clubs.